Hi, and welcome to another episode of Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, both big and small. I'm Emily, and today we have our reoccurring guest, the only guest that I interview, Marianne Williams, my sister, on the show. So welcome, Marianne.
Hey, Emily.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Just working my way through this list of zero waste fails that I continuously add to.
Yes, that's a nonstop. Okay, so I just want to briefly touch for our listeners. We had a couple other episodes with Marianne where we've talked kind of about her background and how she got into zero waste. And then me and her both just kind of wanted to share some of the hilarious stories that she's had. After living pretty much a decade of zero waste. So Marianne's had a couple of fails or bloopers, I would consider, that that we've talked about before in other episodes, that have included buying a barrel of industrial vinegar while she lived in a very small Toronto apartment. And the carrot seed oil that you used as sunscreen that
turned you into
a carrot. Yeah, and a few other things. So if those are kind of up your alley, I would recommend listening to our other episodes with Marianne. Okay, but let's like keep working through this list. I'm so curious to see what else you have in store for us.
So last time I was on the podcast, we talked a little bit about DIY cosmetics.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our bafflement at like who these work for.
Like what climate do these people live in? Because I guess to give you guys a bit of a background, like obviously I live in Edmonton, super dry, I would say pretty harsh climate. Marianne has lived in like a whole variety of climates. She's lived in like the very humid Toronto. She's lived in like the southern states where it's hot, and now you're living in Rhode Island, which is, I guess, also humid. So I feel like we've covered a lot of the, like, I don't know, humidity, temperature, area lifestyles, and these cosmetics still don't work.
Like, well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know who is coming up with these cosmetic DIY recipes and posting them on Pinterest. But like, yeah, like I said, a lot of them did not work for me. And I've moved on from a lot of that stuff, which I'm glad to say.
With that being said, if you guys do have like some miracle cosmetics that work, like definitely send us an email at becominglesspod@gmail.com. Anyways, because yeah, this is a mystery. And I feel like a lot of it is trial and error. Like I am sure that, you know, rubbing coconut oil and activated charcoal on your eyelashes for someone like does something and they love it. But yeah, if you have something that actually works.
Well, let us know. You know, one thing I will say, like when I lived in Banff.
Oh yeah, you also lived in Banff.
Yeah, it's dry, just like Edmonton. And that was one place actually that I didn't use coconut oil on my face at that point, but using it as a lotion in the shower actually did really work because it's so dry there. Although, again, that still isn't great.
Yeah,
I think that there's still a chance
for you
of getting oil on your clothes and kind of wrecking your clothes. So personally, I would give that a skip. But so the other, like speaking, we spoke about cosmetics, but I thought we could talk about some hair stuff this episode.
And
I know
great.
That you and Biz did a shower episode a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit in our shower episode just about like bar soap. Once again, I'll just reflect on the point that Biz is, I guess, I don't want to say like much like lower maintenance than I am. but you know, like in reality, she uses fewer products than I do. She's like quite a minimalist, and I'm working towards that, I guess. But yeah, so we kind of talked a little bit about like what is in our showers and what we use and bar soap and shampoo and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm kind of interested to hear what your stories have been.
Yeah. So in reflecting on my quote unquote zero waste journey, I think one of the first things that I did, and this would have been like 10, 12 years ago, was I ditched shampoo and
you went no poo.
I did the no poo thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I
spoiler alert, Marianne used a shampoo today.
Yeah, I definitely use shampoo now. But I did that actually for about maybe about a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I was in my undergrad, I stopped using all shampoo, I think, for a period. You know, you can read all about this online, but your hair does adjust.
Yeah.
And in some ways, like one thing that I remember thinking is, and I mean, I don't know, I'd probably be better to talk to a hairdresser about, you know, some of this, but I guess like if you've never used shampoo or detergents on your hair, then, you know, your hair just naturally
you don't need them, right?
Looks better.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be nice. So little kids, like, you know, if you never use shampoo on little kids, apparently their hair stays nicer longer. But yeah, in my case, so as a teenager, I dyed my hair a lot. And
then Marianne had like the funkiest hair.
Yeah,
I
dyed it all sorts of like weird colors. And then kind of grew out of that in college. So yeah, I stopped dyeing my hair and I just was growing it out and decided to try not using shampoo. And I'll say like my hair was pretty greasy for a month or so. And then it did adjust, like people on the internet will say.
Yeah, you just got to like put in the time, right?
Yeah. I mean, you still like shower, but you just kind of rinse out your hair.
Yeah.
Well,
actually my partner, like Sean, doesn't use shampoo. He has like quite coarse, thick hair. Yeah. And he doesn't use shampoo. He literally just adds conditioner to his hair and it works for him. So
yeah. So for some, like, I think for some hair types and some people, actually doing without shampoo is awesome. And, you know, I definitely recommend trying that out for a little period and seeing if it works. My issue came, I'm trying to think exactly when I started kind of washing my hair again. Well, the first thing was I was in a wedding and my friend had kind of asked that I get my hair done in this special way with like hairspray and stuff. And that was another thing. At that point, I didn't use any products in my hair. I literally just like would wash my hair and brush it out. If you do go no shampoo, it is somewhat important to use a good boar bristle brush. And that kind of helps distribute the oils down the shaft of your hair a little bit.
Oh,
so that can kind of, that can help keep it from looking greasy if you have like thin, straight hair.
Oh,
which I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emily and I both say, have kind of similar hair.
Yeah. But I explained this in the shower episode, but I have like quite fine, straight hair. And yeah, greasiness is something that I definitely struggle with. Like actually today, like I haven't washed my hair for 2 days and it's like, yeah, I needed to put dry shampoo in it or wear a toque because it looks unappealing to society to have my hair this greasy.
Yeah. So I broke my no shampoo year when I was getting ready for this wedding.
Right.
And it wasn't just like, I don't think that if you just wash your hair once, it like you have to start all over again. But
yeah,
I think it was maybe like a week or so. And I was getting my hair done. And anyway, you know, they used conventional shampoos in it. And I was like, you know, it's my friend's wedding. And I just figured that I would go back to no poo after that. But my hair, I did notice after a while, the ends of my hair got really, really, really dry. And I'm pretty prone to breakage. And I think after shampooing it a couple of times for this wedding, I noticed like something was just off about my hair. And I thought, okay, I'll just try like, you know, reverting back to some sort of shampoo or cleaning method. So this is like, I am kind of embarrassed about this, but for a while, I'm so glad I stopped taking my beauty advice from Pinterest and the internet, but I had like a little jar of baking soda and I would like take this baking soda, make a paste and then like run it through my scalp.
And that's how you would wash your hair?
And that's how I'd wash my hair. And to be honest, it does work for a period of time. But then again, your skin
pH
level, and you really like it's so bad to be doing that to your skin.
I just imagine you being like, okay, so
Oh.
I'm gonna like wash my hair with baking soda and this is gonna be great. And then like, isn't there a thing to do like a vinegar rinse?
Oh my God, yeah.
To do
So
a vinegar rinse, and I just picture you
for
having
a
this
pe
industrial grade vinegar that you
So yeah,
mentioned
so for
before.
a period
Anyways.
I was washing my hair with baking soda, like straight baking soda. And actually, the thing is, the thing that gets you is that it does work to get the grease out of your hair. So your hair does feel kind of nice for a while, and you're like, wow, it's so clean.
But then it
But
falls out.
then it like really starts irritating. It really started irritating my scalp. And as you can imagine, I started getting really bad dandruff, and I was like concerned about this. So instead of like switching to conventional shampoos at this point, I was like, oh
Like,
yeah, my old friend vinegar totally will just rehydrate. Like, I don't
you know
know.
what's gotta solve
But
this problem?
yeah, so again, this is where it gets you because it did make my hair feel better for a period. But
You're like,
then,
this is great. Oh
yeah,
no. So
anyway,
then would
I
you just
just.
like, you would wash your hair with vinegar or like rinse it, I
I mean,
guess?
I was diluting it, but.
Yeah. I'm glad that you didn't put industrial grade vinegar directly on
Oh
your
my gosh.
poor
Yeah,
damaged
no,
scalp from the baking soda.
I think at this point I had switched to apple cider vinegar, which like is a
Oh,
slightly more gentle, but like
It has
don't.
apple cider vinegar supposedly has is pH balanced for your skin from things that I
Well,
have read. But
yeah,
you know
I
what?
don't
I don't
know.
know. I've also read that from a blog on the internet, so
Yeah, knowing what I know now,
take
I
that with a grain
don't
of
think it's
salt.
a good idea to use super acidic or super basic ingredients on your body at all, really. And it is definitely bad to like science experiment volcano your scalp every like twice a week or whatever
Oh
I was doing.
no.
So yeah, that
Yeah.
was really, really bad. My hair, like thankfully my hair
That's like a
was
natural
okay,
solution to
but
like clean your drains. It's like dump baking soda and then put vinegar and then put like boiling hot water, which is like essentially what you did just over a
oh,
longer period of time to your scalp.
yeah. And the
Ooh.
thing is, I only wash my hair maybe once or twice a week. So it did take, like, embarrassingly, it did take me probably several months before I realized that this was like not working for my hair. And
Yeah,
it
'cause that's only
just,
really a handful of washes, right? Like that's like 10, 12 washes in like
yeah, it just, it desiccated the ends of my hair, and my hair was just like,
Oh no.
really, really dry. Anyway, it was dumb. It was really bad. I have a friend who's a hairdresser in Toronto, and I went to her to get my hair done, and she was just like, "What is going on? What have you been
It's
doing to
like,
your
I don't
scalp?"
know what this is, but this is an
And
emergency.
yeah, I was like super embarrassed. And she was like, "What have you like?" Anyway, so thankfully, like she's a friend and was really kind with me, but she's like, yeah, I think you need to like just use shampoo like a regular person. So I did go back to, I think at that point I used solid shampoo, which actually I still more or less use, like a shampoo bar. I've tried a bunch of different brands and a bunch of different kinds. I've kind of found one that I really like, but there can be kind of learning curves on that. And Emily, I think that's similar to what you've found too.
Your technique kind of is a bit different, and like Biz mentioned this too, and Biz does have like, I would say, like she has pretty like thick hair that I think would be like a little bit. Anyways, I just think that you need to, there's a lot of trial and error that goes in with that. I think with any product, like even with, you know, regular beauty products, there's like lots of trial and error that happens. And so you kind of just have to be able to ride that out.
Yeah, but I would say one thing that I do, I've actually reverted to buying maybe the more wasteful option has been hair conditioner. So I have pretty limp hair, I would say, and
Yeah, we're
a
really
lot of
painting a beautiful picture of
of what we
of
look like.
what our hair is like. It's
Well,
thin,
my hair
flat.
is
Yeah.
well.
Anyways, it's true.
my hair is quite long right now, and I found the conditioner bars that I tried, I could not find one that worked for me. Often I found that they were too heavy for my hair. And they might work for like the roots of my hair, but I kind of needed detangling at the crown of my head too. So my solution to that actually was to buy
apple cider vinegar.
to buy super, I buy like really large sizes of conditioner that I know that I like. You know, I try and use the shampoo bar to kind of reduce my plastic, but I do use a liquid conditioner. Although it sounded like you guys had found some good conditioner bars. So I might try that out, but yeah, I don't know. My hair, it took a really long time for me to kind of figure out what my hair needed. Another thing to consider, and this was really apparent when I moved to Banff because they have very hard water there, but different shampoo bars and different types of shampoo might not work in different types of water.
Yeah,
and if you're having an issue with a shampoo bar, it might be because of your water. And actually, like conventional liquid shampoo that you know, you buy at the supermarket and stuff, that has so much surfactant in it.
Right. So it doesn't matter what like kind chemical. Of water you use.
Yeah. So, you know, there's all sorts of literature and information about that out there.
Yeah. On, for people who don't know what surfactants are, that it like breaks down, like it gets into the water, I guess.
Yeah. Like you just kind of want to steer clear of sodium lauryl sulfate in particular and some parabens and different chemicals that are pretty common in shampoo, but those are the chemicals that make your shampoo really foamy. And they'll work in both hard and soft water, whereas shampoo bars, you know, won't foam quite the same. But I think you mentioned that you have a shampoo or a soap bag that kind of helps with foaming.
You know what, that's actually just for soap. But it's not for like shampoo or conditioner. We have a local like bar shampoo and conditioner company here in Edmonton, Jack 59, who she has like both shampoo and conditioner bars, and her bars foam pretty good. To be honest, I don't know exactly what kind of ingredients and things like that she uses, but I know that she is quite a clean, like her bars are pretty clean. And she does formulate her bars. And specifically, I know her conditioner bars a little bit differently than like your traditional ones. But anyway, so that's kind of the brand that I have used. And like, I'm still kind of experimenting with, to be honest. I haven't found like my dream shampoo and conditioner. But I know Biz said that she had found a formula that worked really well for her. So I think that, it's just kind of a matter of trial and error. And trying different brands and seeing what works and just kind of keeping on.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing that I did to my hair in my 20s was I bought like natural henna dye.
Okay.
For my hair. And so again, I was at like a health food store or something and I saw some sort of product. It was henna, I guess. And it looked like a bar of soap actually. And then you kind of like grate it up. They used to sell a version at Lush too.
Yeah. I think I've seen this at Lush. I feel like.
Yeah. Maybe. So I bought something similar at like a health food store and I dyed my hair black.
Okay.
And to be honest, it looked good. You know, no complaints until I went to the hairdresser and my hairdresser was like, oh my God, what is this?
With your hair. Okay.
Because it just, I don't know. I was trying to do, I think I went to dye my hair red actually after that. And she was like, I cannot get this stuff out. It was like she tried putting something over top of it and it like turned green. It was just bad. So anyway, for some people, like, you know, if you are just dyeing your hair, if you want something that's like low waste and you know you're going to stick with black forever.
Yeah, maybe if you're like covering grays or like something
if you,
like that.
If you feel comfortable using, you know, these natural hair dyes or whatever, you know, that maybe can work for you. For me, my hairdresser was like, between the baking soda and vinegar, like shampoo, conditioner replacement, and this henna stuff, she was like, you're destroying your hair.
Stop.
Like, stop doing this. And anyway, so one thing, at least just to keep in mind with the henna hair dye, you know, some people, it might kind of seem like a temporary or like a not a permanent thing. In my specific case, like my hair might be more porous than yours or something, but it was
permanent.
It wasn't, some sort of aspect of the pigment was very permanent on my hair and it was really hard to remove. So just be careful with that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like, oh, I'm gonna, like, this is gonna be a fun thing for a week. It's like,
yeah, I thought it was temporary. I thought it would wash out. And to be honest, it did. It did fade. But
so can I just ask you how it worked? Like, it, you just got it in like a bar and you just like rubbed it in, or?
Okay, so this is like going back about 6 years, but yeah, I seem to remember it came in a block, like it looked like a block of soap, and it was black.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I like grated it with a cheese grater or something into like hot water and made like a paste and then put it in my hair. And
did it also just dye your scalp as well? Like, this is, you know, the other thing, because I'm like, you know, henna is used to dye skin, obviously. And so I just imagine, like,
I don't know. I don't remember that. I don't remember. Like, I remember it looking good.
It out.
Like, I was happy with my hair.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't until after, like, much, much later when I went to the hairdresser and she was like,
we're like, what's going on here?
She's like, you know, when you use conventional dyes, I understand what I need to do with like the chemical mixture to change it. But when you use like weird natural stuff, like, she doesn't know what the chemical bond is that she needs to break in it.
Right. So yeah, it might be good for someone who like wants to consistently use that, or, but yeah, anyone who wants to change their hair in a different way, like, that's probably... That's not the solution for them.
Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, I think the best low waste thing is to not dye your hair and just, you know, reduce your haircuts.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But I'm still vain. I still have my vanity. Although I can tell you right now, I have not gone for a haircut in like probably about a year. And I've basically stopped dyeing my hair completely. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
like I said, I have switched back to using a more conventional conditioner because my hair was like,
because your hair was
really
falling out of your
in bad shape.
Yeah,
it was just like gummy. I don't know how to describe it other than gummy. Like,
oh, like there was like a buildup.
Yeah, it was not good. And
yeah, I don't think hair is supposed to feel gummy.
Honestly, ugh. I do think that, like, one of my roommates, and again, very close friend from Toronto, had super, super curly, thick, like, gorgeous hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she doesn't use shampoo in it ever. She just uses kind of like a sequence of conditioners.
Okay.
And yeah. You know, that has worked for her really well. She doesn't shampoo at all ever, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's differing versions of the no shampoo thing. Yeah, I don't know. I sort of cycle in and out of being maybe a little bit more high maintenance with my hair and a little bit less so.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've found has worked for my hair.
I think that's totally fair. Yeah, it's going to look different for everyone. And I feel like you put in a really gallant effort to try and find low waste things that worked for your hair. So,
well, I think, like, you know, of all the shampoo bottles I saved from that year of not using shampoo.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's got to make some sort of zero waste point total. But, and then,
Okay. So I just wanted, I don't know if you have any more like hair related stories. But I know that we had talked about activated charcoal a little bit, and I kind of just wanted to share this story I had about creating my own toothpaste. I don't know if I told you this or not.
Oh, I have a toothpaste, or, well, a tooth hygiene story. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Maybe we should save it for the next
episode. Okay, let's save it for the next episode.
We'll leave you guys hanging. The suspense. I know, it's unbearable. Okay, so yeah, thanks Marianne for sharing a little bit of your, I guess, hair horror stories of zero waste, and yeah, a little bit of insight into, yeah, those horrible, well, I shouldn't say horrible, like they mean well, but the blogs that, like, sometimes those DIY recipes just get you. They just get you. Okay, so thank you guys all so much for listening. As always, we love to hear your feedback. If there's a topic that you guys want us to talk about, or like a business that you guys want us to highlight in Edmonton or Alberta, definitely send us an email at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at becominglesspod. I also just want to give a quick shout out to Change Toothpaste Tabs, who have been sponsoring our podcast, which we're really excited about. So thanks to them. Go check them out. And also head over to becominglesspod.podbean.com for all the ways to connect and listen. And if you're so inclined, you can also donate to support waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton and help us continue on with the podcast. We hope to have you back next time. And just a reminder that every day we can be a little less than we were yesterday.
Okay, should we do one more?
One more, one more.